When studying halacha, it's often difficult to see how the concepts might have any relevance to the lives we live outside of our lives as halachic Jews. For example, when you study the halachas of bishul, the laws of cooking, or bishul in halacha, which primarily manifests in the arena of bishul b'shabbos, or cooking on Shabbos in the context in which it might be permissible to heat or reheat foods on Shabbos, but it also has applications in bishul of basar b'chalav, cooking meat and milk, it would seem that the whole world of concepts of bishul has nothing to do with our mundane life. A pervasive theme in Torah's Chabad, in the vast body of literature produced by the seven rabbis of Lubavitch and their disciples, is that every concept in halacha has multiple layers and multiple dimensions. And you can view the concept in halacha as the body, but the further layers and dimensions and even applications to the way we live our lives as the soul, or multiple layers of the soul. In this year, I'd like to discuss an application of the conceptual language of bishul to the area of dating and marriage, particularly in a frum, in a Orthodox religious context. Chassidus teaches us that there are two perspectives with which we should view life. Generally speaking, Chassidus Chabad is very into the idea of embracing dialectics, embracing seemingly contradictory themes, embracing paradoxes, and being able to, as it were, look at reality with different sets of glasses. Sometimes you need to put on your rose-colored glasses, sometimes you need to put on your clear glasses, and sometimes you need to put on your dark glasses, as the case may be. So here, on the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Ki Kel Deyas Havaya, God is a God of knowledges, or of perspectives, of minds. So this explains that there's two perspectives. One is called Das Elyon, and the other is called Das Tachton. Das Elyon means that in God's plan, everything is good. We can just take a step back. We don't have to do anything. Tragedies happen. Good things happen. God has a plan. It'll all work out. Das Tachton, however, means the lower perspective, the lower knowledge. And within that perspective, what we do matters a lot, and our decisions really count. And we have to mightily strive to ensure that the outcomes that we believe to be positive do in fact manifest in reality. So with that in mind, let's look at a Das Tachtendike perspective, a human perspective, a Gestaltus-based perspective on what the concepts of Bishul and Halacha teach us about when and how to go about dating. One question that young Orthodox men and women, or young Hasidic men and women, often ask their parents or their abbeim, their spiritual mentors, is when should I start dating? How old should I be? And some rabbinic mentors will say for young men, you should start dating only at 23, not younger than 23, not older than 23. Some rabbinic mentors are putting out letters that young men should start dating at 19. This will help solve the shidduch crisis. And for young women, you also have a dispute amongst the various seminary teachers and the moras and parents. Some are saying, start dating the moment you leave seminary. Some say, start dating the moment you leave high school. And others say, no, wait until you finish your college degree. So we see there's a great multiplicity of opinions here. So what might the paradigm of Hilchas Bishul B'Shabbos, or the halachic construct of Bishul, tell us with regard to this question, when to start dating? So here, halacha has a whole taxonomy of how we look at a given food, at a given dish. The first level is called chai, which means something is raw. It's completely uncooked. No one would eat it. Then you have two further levels, which are categorized under the rubric of Michael Ben Dursoy. Who is Ben Dursoy? Dursoy was a bandit, and Michael Ben Dursoy is the food he would eat. Since Ben Dursoy was in a rush, he was always on the run from the authorities. Ben Dursoy would eat his food only partially cooked. He was always in a run. And here, there's a machlekes between Rashi and the Rambam as to how cooked Ben Dursoy's food, in fact, was. According to Rashi, his food was one-third cooked. It was shlish bishuli. According to the Rambam, it was half-cooked. It was chatzi bishuli. Now, for the purposes of cooking on Shabbos, once something is already cooked, can Michael Ben Dursoy, it's considered cooked, even though it's not fully cooked. because there are at least a set of people, a class of people, who would eat such food. Next, after that, you have what's called mevushal kol tzarkei. A food is completely cooked. But even when a food is completely cooked, there are still further degrees, there are still further layers of cooking. And that's what's called mitstamek. The word mitstamek comes from the word simuk, which means scrunched, crinkled. In Hebrew, raisins are called tzimukim, because they were once luscious grapes, and now they're all wrinkled. But in halacha, the idea of mitstamek means that even though the food is fully cooked, it's continuing to cook. And as foods continue to cook, let's say you have a piece of meat, which is continuing to cook, the meat will often take on something of a raisin-like consistency. Now here, we have two types. There's mitstamek v'yafaloi, which means as the dish continues to cook, it gets better and better. Think of, let's say, certain cuts of roast beef and brisket. The longer you leave them cooking, the more juicy and luscious they get. There are people who eat 72-hour cooked roast beefs, which seems a little bit excessive, but such roast beefs apparently taste particularly good. Or think of cholent. If you have the cholent in the crock pot for many, many hours, the cholent tastes all the better. Overnight potato kugel. That's mitstamek v'yofolei. As it cooks, the more it cooks, the better it gets. But then we have what's called mitstamek v'raloi, which means the longer your dish stays on the fire, the worse it gets. Perhaps the food will burn, or perhaps if you leave a chicken soup on the fire for too long, then the vegetables begin to get soggy and moist. Now, we could go through the halachic relevance of all these categories to cooking, and surely if we did so, we'd be able to get even more nuanced spiritual mileage out of discussing these various concepts, but at least for the moment, we have our relevant categories set out. We have, to review, chai, mevushal kol ma'achal ben drusoi, which comes in two categories. There's shlish bishulai and chatzi bishulai. Then we have mevushal kol tzarkei. And then within mevushal kol tzarkei, we have mitstamek v'yafaloi and mitstamek v'raloi. Now let's see how these categories help us answer that question. When is it that a person should start shidduchim? And when is it that a person should realize, maybe now it's time to settle down already and get married? Because although it's the case that al pi das elyon, everything happens for a reason, al pi das elyon, even terrible marriages and mistakes and tragedies are all ultimately for the good. Like the Rebbe Rishab tells us in his Sefer Eter, that churban beis hamikdash l'fi das elyon is also a good thing. But in our lives, we're not looking for a churban. We're looking to do things correctly according to das tachton. If Hashem has his own plans, Hashem has his own calculations, we'll leave that up to God. But Hashem has tasked us with uvacharta b'chayim, that we're meant to make positive, wise, intelligent decisions. Metaphorically, each of us is a tavshil. Each of us is a dish. We're a unique dish made in Hashem's kitchen. And as such, every dish you have will fit uniquely into this paradigm of chai, mevushal kol ma'achal ben drusoi, mevushal kol tzarkei, mitstamek v'yafaloi, and mitstamek v'raloi. Your status depends on the unique details of your personal biography and your personal psyche. So, when should you start dating? Don't start dating when you're chai. Don't start dating when you are spiritually or psychologically raw. You're spiritually or psychologically undeveloped. And it's probably best not to start dating either when you're only mevushal k'mayichal ben drusoi, when you're only halfway there in terms of the relevant psychological development or the relevant spiritual development. Nonetheless, if you do start dating and in fact do get married when you're only mevushal k'mayichal ben drusoi, it's not the end of the world. You'll likely be okay. But try and make sure that you and your spouse get to the stage of mevushal kol tzarkei, of being completely psychologically and spiritually developed. And once you're mevushal kol tzarkei, once you're completely cooked, once you've completed the relevant psychological and spiritual development, and you've reached a stage where you can be fully responsible for yourself, for a spouse, and for children, you're mevushal kol tzarkei, that's probably a good time to start dating. Once again, that's going to be a very personal thing, and it's going to depend on your very unique circumstances. But sometimes, even after you've completed the requisite psychological and spiritual development that's necessary in order to be a good spouse and in order to be a good parent, sometimes continuing the process of spiritual, psychological, and material development, even you're after, so to speak, ready, is actually a very positive thing. Although you're fully cooked, you're still mitstamek v'yofaloi. As you continue to cook, as you continue to psychologically and spiritually mature on your individual journey as a single, you vastly improve in ways which will pay major dividends in having a much happier, healthier, present marriage. And this is actually a very important perspective for many singles in the firm community who are frustrated about the fact that they're not yet married. You'll have young men in yeshiva, or perhaps or recent college graduates at the age of 24, 25, and they see all their friends getting married. And then they go cry, what's wrong with me? Am I okay? Will I ever get married? And then they walk around dejected and depressed, always complaining or always ruminating about their single status. And this is a pervasive phenomenon in the firm community amongst women from even a younger age, the phenomenon of being filled with the feeling of what's going to be with me. So here the answer is, don't worry. Just make sure that you're cooking. As in, make sure that where you are in life, you are psychologically, spiritually, and materially maturing. In Chabad parlance, somebody who's religiously growing and someone who's religiously inspired is called in Yiddish, the person who's verkocht. Verkocht means the person's cooking. So if you're worried what's going to be, make sure you're cooking. And if you're cooking, we can hope that you're mitstamek v'yofaloi. As you progress, as you continue to cook, as you continue to mature, you're doing both yourself, your future spouse, and your future children an amazing favor. But then you have in the firm community a pervasive phenomenon, and you see this in the secular world as well, of singles who keep getting older and older and older, seemingly well past the prime, and that begins to become grounds for concern. Now, why is this? Well, first of all, many such people have certain psychological traumas or certain issues which have really never been addressed. They've never been resolved. And in that sense, those people are still raw. They've never been cooked. So if you're such a person, and many of us are such people, we're more pervasive than you might think, make sure you seek out an excellent chef. Make sure you seek out the sort of person or the types of people who will be able to help you become cooked, who will be able to help you resolve those raw traumas or those raw issues which have not yet been resolved. But perhaps, and this is sometimes even more common, you'll have somebody who's not really dealing with a discrete trauma. They're just so much enjoying the process of self-development as an individual. They're so much enjoying the process of being mitzdamik, the process of cooking. They're so absorbed in their higher-minded ideals of what they could be and of what their marriage could be like, that they forget that sometimes when you're mitzdamik, the mitzdamik is not mitzdamik v'yofaloi, but rather it's mitzdamik v'ra'aloi. The more you cook, the worse you get. They haven't learned the simple adage that the Halakha contemporary Chabad Mashpia, the Hayntige Hanochas Harap, once taught, that sometimes good enough is good enough. These people often live in a world of Das Elyon, a world where God takes care of everything, a world of high-minded ideals, and they forget that there's a Das Tachten. And according to Das Tachten, according to the laws of the world in which we live and which we have to contend with, Shidduchim is a game of economics. And while many may be vying for the best deal or may have such a perspective, no one gets everything they wanted. But that's the world we live in. We have to embrace our own imperfections and embrace others' imperfections. So there we have it. We have a taxonomy of various states of being cooked in halacha. And we've seen how those various states of being cooked correspond that perennially vexing question of Shidduchim, when to date and when to marry. This question, which occupies thousands of yeshiva bachrim and thousands of young seminary women or post-seminary women and their respective rabbeim, parents, mechanchos, and teachers. Now, some might find this a little bit strange. Hayitachin, could it be that Hilchos Bishul, that the laws of cooking on Shabbos or of cooking meat and milk might have relevance to our daily lives? Might it give us a model to go about how to date and when to date? In my travels, I once met a Baal Tshuva, and I learned with this Baal Tshuva some soydis, some of the secrets of the Kabbalah taught by the Alter Rebbe in the Sefer Likutei Torah. And this Baal Tshuva became very angry. He became red in the face. And he said, "These are the secrets of the Kabbalah? I had always expected that the secrets be very, very occult. That the secrets would have nothing to do with my life. That they would talk about deep, deep esoteric mysteries which go on in other worlds. For things that pertain to my life, I don't need to go to the Torah. I can read psychology books." But the answer is that this perspective misses the point. The secular world has perspectives on how to live real life. But as Jews, our perspective on life is meant to derive from the Torah. The Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us that Torah is milashon hora'ah. Torah means teaching, Torah means lesson. Torah is meant to inform the way we live our daily lives. We learn that Torah is Torah's chayim. It's the Torah to live life by. We learn in Sefer Dvarim, loy bashamayim hi. The Torah is not merely a heavenly book, but kikarev elecha hadavar ma'oid b'fichol levav chalasoysi. Torah is very relevant. Torah is very accessible. And Azai tells us the biggest klal, the biggest rule in Torah is ze sefer toldos ha'adam. The Torah is the book which teaches us how to be a human. Now you might say that this is very beautiful. We now have a Torah-based taxonomy about how to understand dating and how to understand when to start dating, when to stop dating. We have a language with which to work, but how do we apply this language? How do I know if I'm chai? How do I know if I'm a voshel kol tzarkei? How do I know if I'm mitzdamek v'yafaloi? And how do I know if, God forbid, I'm mitzdamek v'ali? So here, it's relevant to quote what the Alter Rebbe says at the beginning of Tanya, in the Agadamah Tanya. The Alter Rebbe notes that in halachic matters, there are many, many disputes. So the Alter Rebbe says, if this is true in halachic matters, which are relatively more simple, then when it comes to matters of the nefesh, when it comes to matters of the human psyche, how much more so are these matters far, far more complex? So how do we address this? How do we address this complexity? And how do we learn if we ourselves are currently in a state of chai, in a state of mevushal kol meichel ben drusoi, mevushal kol tzarkai, mitzdamik v'yafalai, or mitzdamik v'ralai? Well, first, just as when you learn halacha, you need to learn the halachas. Now, when you learn Hilchos Bishul b'Shabbos, this is a little bit more straightforward. You'll go to your local rabbi, your educated rebbe, who can tell you that if you want to learn Hilchos Bishul, you open up Shulchan Aruch Chaim, and you'll see there in Simin Shin Yud Ches, Simin Reish Nun Gimel, Simin Reish Nun Dal, and Simin Reish Nun Zayin. Learn those four simanim, learn them well, and you'll know Hilchos Bishul b'Shabbos. If you want to learn more in detail, learn the Magen Avram, learn the Mishnah Brura, learn the Tor Beis Yosef, learn all the relevant Gemaras, learn the Perek Kira. Learn those details and have a pretty good idea of what Bishul b'Shabbos entails, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. But there's one important caveat. If you don't have any experience in the kitchen, if you've never cooked something in your life, if you've never made a gefilte fish or a brisket or a chicken soup, if you've never made an egg, if you've never made a cup of tea, if you've never made a cake, your understanding of Hilchos Bishul is going to be seriously compromised. So you'll want to have a little bit of a hands-on experience in the kitchen. And if you don't have a hands-on experience in the kitchen, then you at least want to call up those who do have hands-on experience in the kitchen and ask them to tell you a little bit about how exactly cooking works so your study doesn't remain completely abstract and completely removed from actual reality. Because it's very possible to learn all of Hilchos Bishul and then not know what to do or not know how to apply the halachas to the reality if you have no grasp of what the reality is like. So similarly, when it comes to the arena of dating, First of all, you're going to want to study the halachas of dating. But when it comes to halachas of dating, you might get a little bit of insight from the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, but you're not going to get that much. There's no section in Shulchan Aruch which deals with the psychological properties of how to go about dating. Now, thank God, there is a lot of Teres HaChassidus. There is a lot of Hasidic thought and Jewish thought which pertains to dating. If you're able to study things which are a little bit more abstract, then the books Drushei Chasana by the various Chabad Rebbeim, you have two volumes of Drushei Chasana from the second Chabad Rebbe, the Mitzvah Rebbe, you have a Kuntres Drushei Chasana from the sixth Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, you have a Maimer Lechadoidi from the Rebbe. So if you have a teacher or you yourself are able to study these more abstract books which give you insight, then you're in a good place. And just as when it comes to the kitchen, you're going to want to learn how it is that ovens work and how it is that cooking works. And a lot of this you're not going to find in Shulchan Aruch, but you'll need to find using other resources. Similarly, you'll want to acquaint yourself, you want to study the relevant psychological material that will allow you to be ready to date in a healthy way, to date in a healthy way, to marry in a healthy way, and to remain married in a healthy way. And then, just as in halacha, you can't just read halacha from the books, but you have to have a rav in halacha, you have to have a mentor in halacha. So too, when it comes to a matter sheb nefesh, when it comes to a matter which pertains to your life and to your psyche, like the concept of dating, it's very important to have a living mentor who will guide you through the process. You can't just study the books. And ideally, this mentor should not be some shiur that you're listening to online, even though there are some excellent lecturers online who have amazing perspectives, which may or may not work for you on marriage. For example, Rabbi Manus Friedman has excellent shurim, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson has amazing shurim, and there are many others. But listening to online shurim is not enough. You need to find a mentor, you need to find a mashpia, who understands you, who understands your reality, and can guide you, and can help you understand if you are Mevushal Kol Tzarkai, if you're Mitzdamik V'Yafalai, if you're Mitzdamik V'Rali, in the context of dating. And just as when you ask halachic questions to a rabbi, you want to make sure that your rabbi is not just a rabbi, but a rabbi who is an expert in the field that you're asking. For example, it could be that your rabbi only has smicha, only has ordination in the laws of kashrus, but doesn't have ordination in the laws of Shabbos, because there are some ordinations like that. So you don't want to ask that rabbi questions in Hilchah Shabbos, because that rabbi may not know more Hilchah Shabbos than you. So similarly, you shouldn't go to a rabbi who's only an expert in Hilchah Kashrus when it comes to matters of the soul. But again, as the Alter Rebbe tells us, matters of the soul are much harder to discern than are matters of Jewish law. And you might say, well, I don't know such a rabbi. And just to know, it doesn't have to be a man who has a piece of paper with his name and the word rabbi on the piece of paper. It could be any God-fearing Jewish man or woman who is a consummate expert in matters of the soul. And you might say, well, I don't know where to find such a person. So here, Pirkei Avos tells us, "Aseh lecha rav," make for yourself a mentor. And if Pirkei Avos said it, then it's certainly possible. But it may not be easy to find the relevant or the right mentor. But here, David HaMelech tells us, like we say every day in davening, three times a day, "Korev Hashem l'chol korev, l'chol asher yikru be'emes." Hashem is close to whoever calls him, as long as you seek him out in truth. And sometimes seeking out in truth takes a lot of effort. And although the primary content of this year has been focusing on a taxonomy, on a categorization, which will help you on your journey, or help you guide your child on their journey, of ishtadlus, and making effort in the manner of das tachten, on a perspective where our actions ultimately matter. If the content of this year is relevant to you, to your child, or someone you know, then you or your child or that person should have the bracha that the Gemara in Saita says, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Samaches, Elikim Moishiv Yechidim Baisa. Hashem takes single people, takes singles, and brings them home, brings them into a relationship. And only in a stable relationship is somebody truly in a state of being home. Moitzi Asirim, he takes out prisoners, people who feel like they're stuck. They're stuck in the place of singleness. They're stuck without a relationship. Hashem is Moitzi Asirim Bakisharis. He takes these prisoners out of their mental prison at the right time. And with all the ishtadlos, may this bracha of Elikim, Moshe Yechidim Baisa, Moitzi Asir Bakesharis, be fulfilled by all who need it. Amen. Ken Yiratzah.